Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Murder. Ba-ba-da-ba. Welcome to Death Do Us Part podcast, hosted by my wife, Jamie.
Hello.
And myself, Mark. What up, y'all?
Hey.
Hey, peeps. We did this one pretty quick.
I gotta open this, sorry.
Oh, that was loud.
Sorry.
Gotta drink your monster, though.
Yeah, I was up all night.
Were you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You guys were busy, I take
it? Stomach flu's going around.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know people want to hear it, but I've been on the bathroom for...
Nobody cares.
Okay, good talk.
Yeah, it's kind of weird this year. Like,
yeah,
people are having like an hour long, like just coming out both ends, and then they're done for like 4 or 5 hours. They feel great.
Yeah, that's how I am.
It hits them like a brick fucking wall again.
That's how I've been.
So.
I didn't know if it was something I ate.
Mm-mm.
Usually, if you... could remember, usually we get real sick around January, February. The past couple years.
Me as in me and you?
I don't know if you have, but I have. I've gotten like the flu.
I get sick in the summer.
Yeah, see, mine comes like January, February. So yeah. This has hit me a little bit early.
And a little PSA, the flu shot doesn't do shit for the stomach flu.
It doesn't?
No.
Okay. No.
The flu shot covers two strains. The flu season starts in Australia in like June.
Yeah.
That's their winter.
Right.
We base our flu shots off of that.
Oh.
So by the time it gets here, it has mutated God knows how many times.
Oh my God. Probably a million.
Sometimes the flu shot works. Sometimes Tamiflu works. It just kind of depends. So
yeah.
The best thing you can do with the flu and for
just
COVID,
ride it out, right?
Because COVID is essentially the flu.
The flu.
Yes, ride it out. Rest, fluids. If you have a fever, and I'm talking like anything above 101, treat it. Otherwise, leave it be because that's your body fighting the infection.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
With kids, don't treat it if it's below 100.4. Let it do its thing. That's
let
how you build immunity.
Let it run its course.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
But, and the stomach flu that's going around now, it's like 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going on 48.
Yeah.
That it's,
but it's just weird how it like, it hits you for like an hour and
yeah.
then you feel, all of a sudden you feel fine and you're good for like 4 hours and
that's,
then you're just not for another hour.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's how I went. I felt mm-hmm. phenomenal mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh
and
my
then
God.
You're sick again for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then you're fine again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
I had like three people tell me that yesterday. They're like, I just don't understand why I felt so good and then I don't. Because it's the flu. I don't.
Right.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
But you've been busy at work. You've had a
yeah.
couple bad, really bad calls.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sorry for
yeah.
that. It's been rough. You put your mic up because it keeps falling like down. Yeah.
There, better?
Yeah.
I'll just move the whole fucking thing up.
Yeah, no, that's better.
Yeah.
I feel terrible for you because I remember my bad calls
yeah.
and they were terrible. And you've had a couple back to back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually like with me, like, well, I mean, the murders were kind of back to back. But
yeah.
Like the really bad ones were kind of spaced out.
Yeah.
But you've had them back to back. So
yeah.
I'm really sorry.
Eh. Is what it is, you know?
Yeah, but still, it
yeah.
sucks. So.
Yeah. I, yeah. The one the other night, I've seen people shot 30-something times.
Yeah.
I've never seen this much blood.
Man.
Ever. Like, and I mean, I worked in the armpit of Illinois for 18 years.
We both worked in the fucking absolute ghetto.
I've never seen this much blood.
Wow, that bad, huh? Mm-hmm. I know you're gonna.
I've never seen that much blood. I've never seen that many injuries on one person.
I know you're gonna hate me for this, but did you hear about the guy that was hit by the rental car?
Which is what, like, perfect timing. Like, you were talking about shitty call, and you're like, "Hey, the person hit by a car."
Did you hear about the guy hit by the rental car?
No.
It really hurts.
Jesus fucking Christ. Oh my god.
Oh. Woo! Gotcha.
So bad.
Gotti.
Yeah. So bad.
You know that was a good one.
Oh my god.
You know that was a good one.
Yeah. So our engine didn't go with us.
Okay.
And we don't know why. Like, the call was like right down the street.
Yeah.
And they sent another station's engine.
Oh, really?
Which we couldn't figure out why, but then the guys on my engine were like, listen, they didn't argue it. The battalion chief didn't argue it. So we were just like, hey, okay. And I'm like, you guys weren't missing much. It's fine. And they're like, no. We went back.
Yeah.
They had to go.
Clean it up.
They had to go back for a wash down.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
That's how. And it wasn't.
I mean, that's not unusual.
It is when it's not an accident. Two cars did not collide.
Yeah, I get it.
So, yeah, they had to go back for it.
But yeah, I've had many washdowns.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so that's,
No, that's how your week has been going. Yeah. But in the meantime, you have gotten this out very quick.
So, and I'm halfway done with our Patreon.
I am very proud of you. And I did not look this one up. You said it's very known to the
true crime world. Yeah. My mom is very excited.
Your mom is, dude, when we told your mom is like, what do you need to know about it? What do you need to know? Like, no, we got it. I know bits and pieces of it. I don't know the nitty gritty.
No.
So I am very excited to hear this because it sounds interesting as fuck.
So, like, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
I know that.
Oh, yeah.
I admit that. I own it. That's fine. This woman is...
10 times?
There's not a strong enough word.
Really? She's that bad?
There is not... a strong enough fucking word.
Yeah, your mom just came out and said it. She's like, oh, this chick is a bitch.
she far surpasses cunt.
Like, really?
Oh.
That bad?
At the very end?
The C word.
Oh, at the very end?
Yeah. That bad,
If I was the other woman, I would have gone to jail.
Oh, really?
I would have physically attacked this woman on national TV and then gone to jail.
Wow, that bad,
that
huh?
That bad. Yeah, that bad.
I am very interested.
With some of the shit that she says.
Are you blowing up or what's going on?
It's Veronica.
Tell her we're busy.
I should text her and be like, we're recording and I just said that you're blowing up my phone. So, yeah, God, I mean, it takes a lot of energy to be that big of a shitbag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And nobody deserves to get murdered, obviously.
No. No matter what you do, you don't deserve
but
it.
But he was also a shitbag.
Yeah. But again, you don't deserve
No.
Just because
I'm not
a shitbag.
Right. But him being murdered does not negate the fact that he was a shitbag.
Yeah.
So, just say.
Well, why don't you tell the folks... Is that you or me?
That ain't me.
Okay.
I turned mine off.
Why don't you tell the folks what we are doing this week?
Oh, we are doing the murder of Emmett Corgan.
Emmett Corgan. And he spells his name weird. I don't like it.
E-M-M-E-T-T.
Yeah. Isn't it usually an I?
I don't know any Emmetts. So
Emmett
I don't know.
Smith?
I don't know him.
Oh, you don't?
I don't know.
You don't know the famous football player?
No.
I thought you guys were best friends.
I mean, we could be. But, yeah, I don't know anybody named Emmett.
I love that name, though, Emmett. I just don't like how it's spelled.
His kids have really good names, too.
What's his kids' names?
There's twin girls, Boston and Bailey.
Oh.
And then there's Teague.
I love that.
And then there's Kalia.
I love that.
And then the last
boy. They drank a lot, didn't they?
No, it's Kalia, not Kalua. The last one is, I believe, Titus.
I love that.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. That's awesome.
So there's one person in the story who is like, she should be put up for fucking sainthood. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
It's Emmett's wife. So we'll start with her.
Okay, let's jump into it.
Ashley Harmon was born in 1982, so she's our age.
Oh, yeah.
She was the middle of five. She had two older brothers and two younger sisters. Family would say she always had a strong motherly instinct, but it became more pronounced and significant after her two younger sisters were born. The family was Mormon, so they were part of the Latter-day Saints Church. They did move a lot between California and Idaho. And in 1990, the family settled in Boise. They said it felt homey, and her father opened a chiropractic office. She said that she had an idyllic childhood. She was not aware of any financial struggle that her parents had. They never made it known to the kids. In 1992, though, her parents divorced. And this was devastating to Ashley because up until this point, she thought life was perfect. And this is just, everything's great. And this is when she kind of realized that it's not.
Yeah.
So she ended up moving with her mom and her sisters to Twin Falls, Idaho. And her dad and her brother stayed in Boise. This really made her realize that she wanted something different when she grew up. In 1997, her mom remarried and moved to St. George, Utah. Ashley became very involved in cheerleading and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In 2003, she started at Utah State University, where she originally was going to major in photography, but ended up switching to child development.
They pissed me off this week in football.
Utah State?
Yeah. Oh, no. The University of Utah.
Oh, yeah. No, this is Utah State. Pay attention.
My bad.
Put your fucking phone down.
I did.
Pay attention.
I did.
So she was working housekeeping at the university gym. And one day a coworker asked her to meet him in like the actual gym area.
Yeah.
Waiting there to meet her was 23-year-old Emmett Corrigan. He was a philosophy major and also a medical student at Utah State.
Flip the page.
Emmett Corrigan was born on August 30th, 1980 in Boise, Idaho.
Can I have a sip of your Monster,
Jesus,
by the way?
Fuck.
God, you're Why so
do you
angry.
Do that?
You're so angry.
Yeah. Are you done?
Yeah, it was just a sip.
I don't care.
It was just a sip to wet my mouth, make my mouth moist.
Jackson yelled that at me yesterday.
I know he did.
So Emmett was also Mormon and part of the Church of Latter-day Saints, but he was not raised that way.
I'm sorry. It's such a weird religion, isn't it?
To a point.
Like, I'm not trying to be rude. And no, if you're Mormon, I'm not trying to cut you down. But
there's
like,
extremists. And these guys weren't extremists.
Okay.
Yeah. Not like, you know, Susan Powell, like her husband.
Yeah.
He was an extremist.
Oh,
and they,
yeah.
These guys aren't.
Okay.
Like, at all.
I gotcha.
So, and I stand by religion is ruining God.
It is.
So.
It totally is.
There's
too many religions. Yeah. Believe how you want to believe.
Exactly.
But, like, these organized religions.
It's ridiculous.
It's too much.
So, he found Mormonism actually in high school. And then he spent 2 years in Brazil as a Mormon missionary. So Ashley said that Emmett was charismatic, which cult leaders are charismatic.
Yes, they are.
And excited about life almost to a fault. Like he would get over excited.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of weird.
But she said it was love at first sight and they were inseparable. They got engaged after 2 months. And then 6 months later, on March 6th of 2004, the couple were married.
Oh, okay.
A few months later, she became pregnant, and in 2005, she gave birth to twin girls, Boston and Bailey.
Oh, I love that.
Emmett took to fatherhood immediately.
Yeah.
He was very active and attentive. And then in 2007, son Teague was born.
What are the cats doing?
I don't know.
All I hear is crackling in the kitchen. What?
I don't care. He loved his daughters, but there was something special about having a boy, having a son.
I'm telling you, it is. When you have a boy, a bond that you cannot explain.
Like, and as a mom, like with your girl, you have your girl.
Yeah.
Like Leah's one of my best friends now that she's 18.
Right.
But then I'm a boy mom too. And I got my boobies, you know, who's shoved right up. He would crawl back in if I would let
him. And he's my best friend.
So in 2008, Emmett decided he didn't want to do medical school, but instead he wanted to go to law school.
Ooh, that's a big change.
It would be a lot of sacrificing, but Ashley supported him. So they packed up the kids and moved to Spokane, Washington, which is where her parents had settled. And I believe by parents, I meant her mom and her stepdad.
Yeah.
So Ashley did pretty much all the childcare. She stayed at home, which that was okay with her. That's what she wanted. She always wanted to be a mom. So Emmett attended Gonzaga Law School.
Gonzaga. Yeah.
Is that okay? Did I say it right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They're huge with basketball.
The law school?
Yeah.
Oh.
Gonzaga. Okay. Yeah. They're huge with basketball.
So it was an hour commute each way. So the time away from Ashley and the kids definitely started to take its toll, but the couple figured that the sacrifice now would pay off in the end. So in November of 2009, Emmett was wrapping up law school. Ashley then gave birth to their fourth child, Kalia.
Love that.
And after graduation, the family moved to Boise, Idaho, where he was from. Excuse me, and got a job at a bankruptcy law firm while studying for the bar.
Oh, okay.
They thought maybe when he passed the bar, it would kind of get a little bit easier, but it didn't. The workload really only increased after passing the bar.
Yeah.
Around this time, after he passes the bar, Ashley becomes pregnant with their fifth child. When Emmett was home, she said that he was still the same active and attentive father that he always was, and he was excited about the fifth child. In mid-2010, in addition to the bankruptcy firm, Emmett decided to start a small criminal defense practice as a side gig for, like, extra money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bankruptcy firm allowed him to start this little practice out of their office.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
So the workload eventually became too much for Emmett to handle alone, and he decided that he needed help.
Yeah.
So, in September of 2010, a friend introduced Emmett to Candy Hall.
Candy.
With an I.
Brrr.
Yeah, with an I.
Mm. Candy.
Candy Hall was an experienced paralegal recently fired from her current law firm.
Mm.
Now on to Candy. So, yeah. Candy Hall and husband Rob also met in a gym.
Hey.
In 1994, they were married in Southern California and then went on to have two daughters.
Yeah.
Somewhere around 2005, 2006, depending on where you're looking, Candy and Rob decided to move from Southern California to Meridian, Idaho, which is right next to Boise.
Yeah.
They were looking for a better environment.
Hey, there's a little shit
for their daughters.
I don't know what he's trying to do, but
whatever.
Yeah, you've been making noise, dude.
So Rob took a job as a computer specialist for the IT department at the Ada County Sheriff's Department. He helped develop an emergency vehicle tracking system that was like world renowned.
Yeah.
His work was always praised by coworkers, and he was described by friends and coworkers as quiet and low key, and he was a good worker and a good father.
Yeah.
Candy began working as a paralegal, and then Rob started traveling for work.
Oh.
So I wrote in my notes.
Yeah.
Where the fuck does a computer specialist for a police department travel for work?
I mean, you could have conferences, but
that's like once a year, right? I'm wondering if it had, I couldn't find it. I'm wondering if it had something to do with this tracking system he developed.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, that could be.
Because it got to the point where he was gone more than he was home.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's weird.
And when he was home, he was distant. So Candy started to suspect that Rob was having an affair.
Yeah.
One night, Rob came to the bedroom just crying and laid down.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So he admitted to Candy that he was having an affair.
Oh.
And Candy, according to Candy, said that she just put her head on his chest and said, quote, Robert, just fix it.
Oh, yeah, because that's what always happens. That's what always happens. Great outcome.
I'm not going to be laying on your chest. I'm going to be stabbing it with a steak knife.
Right.
So, Candy didn't want a divorce.
No.
Rob agreed to counseling and working on the marriage, but didn't stop the affair.
Mm.
So, he did not fix it like she requested. Yes.
Oh.
Now, Candy's self-esteem took a hit. This is what I was saying last week. She was near 40 and believed that Rob had stepped out because she was, quote, just was boring. Now, I'm 42.
Yeah.
Keith Morrison in the Dateline was like, her 40th birthday was barreling down on her like a Chinese bullet train.
Sir, we're not that fucking old. You're like 90.
Keith, you are 107. And I mean that with all the respect and love in my heart. You are 107.
Right. Your birthday is fucking barreling down.
Please stop knocking the rest of us.
Right. Right. Oh, that's funny, man.
God. Did you know that he was Matthew Perry's stepdad?
I did know that.
I didn't know that right away. Yeah.
I knew that for a long time, like right after Matthew Perry died.
I would use that to advantage to make friends. Be like, Keith Morrison is at my house. Do you want to come say hi?
Right.
So now in November of 2010, Candy starts working for Emmett.
Yeah.
It didn't take long for the emails and the texts to get flirty and then sexual. Within 2 weeks, please don't do that. Stop. Seriously.
Okay, I'm sorry.
One
more time?
Oh, my God.
You hate me so much right now.
I do. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. So within 2 weeks, Candy and Emmett, I don't know what kind of a mood I was in, but I wrote, within 2 weeks, they were bumping uglies.
That's great. Hey.
I literally wrote bumpin' uglies. I did.
Hey, I mean, it's the truth.
So both were just smitten. Candy said, quote, I would like to be put on that pedestal. Emmett made me feel that way. It was pretty much an ego boost to me because he's like 28 or like 30-ish.
Yeah.
You know, he's 30. Candy said she was not trying to get back at Rob, but she was only thinking of herself. And that the affair made her feel good, quote, it made me feel like I was on top of the world. So the affair was an open secret at the office, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
A number of coworkers knew, as well as some clients.
Ooh.
They were barely hiding the fact that they were banging in the office all the time.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Whose desk?
Emmett, probably his. Emmett started spending more time at the office and the gym and less time at home.
Yeah.
So now he's working out like a fucking fiend.
Of course.
He's
got a reason to.
But, like, it gets ridiculous to the point, like, on his and Ashley's anniversary, he said he was going to a fitness competition and just left.
Okay.
So Ashley felt an emotional disconnect. Emmett was not as supportive with this pregnancy like he was with the previous ones, and she ended up going to a lot of doctor's appointments alone. So one day on the way home from an appointment, she stopped by his office to see, like, hey, let's get some lunch, like, without our kids or whatever.
Right.
When she walked in, Emmett was in his office with the door closed, and she asked where he was. And one of the people in the office said, he's in his office. I dare you to go in there.
I gerbil dog dare you.
So she said when she went in the office, she was taken aback and surprised at how unhappy and uncomfortable Emmett was with her being in the office. Ashley had kind of fleeting thoughts of Emmett having an affair, but always pushed them aside. She knew he had a new paralegal.
Yeah.
But Emmett had discussed Candy as almost old and like matronly.
Okay.
But then, you know, Ashley comes to the office and she's greeted by Candy, who's wearing a short skirt and, quote, hooker boots.
Hey, all right.
So, again, the thought of an affair with the two of them crossed her mind, but again, she pushed it out of her mind. She did take her concerns to Emmett, though. She said, quote, I said, Emmett, I don't feel good about this one. And he's like, what do you mean? She's like a mother figure. Like, she really believes in me, thinks I'm going to be this great defense attorney. And then Ashley would say, quote, to be honest, I'd always be like, she's like 40. He just turned 30. Ashley, no, there's no way. I mean, you're 28 years old. There's that 40th birthday barreling down like a fucking bullet train.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Now, this got hot and heavy at this point. So now he's going to the gym all the time.
Yeah.
Ashley wants to help him out. And, like, she thinks she's going to do a good deed. She's going to clean out his car. And I don't think she was cleaning out his car to be like, let's see what I can find. I think she legitimately thought, like, that would make him happy.
Yeah.
She found an envelope with pills in it. And she, like, Google searched the pills. And they were some form of steroid. And one of the side effects was, you know, sexual function problems.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, well, maybe that's why we're not intimate because of this.
Right.
So Emmett and Candy were going strong. Emmett was constantly telling Candy she needed to leave Rob. I don't know, it's unknown really if he ever talked about leaving Ashley, but he always said that she needed to leave Rob. And she was like, no.
Yeah.
He called Rob Gob.
Gob. hey, Gob.
And whether Emmett knew it or not, it seemed Candy really had no intention of leaving Rob.
Right.
So late fall of 2010... Rob finally ended his affair and wanted to work on his marriage. But by Christmas of 2010, Rob now suspected that Candy was having an affair with her boss. They were laying in bed one day and Candy got up to go to the bathroom and her phone went off. Rob checked the phone and saw a text from Emmett. Now, Candy said the text was something along the lines of, I wish I was with you tonight.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a lot more graphic than that.
Right. I want your wang inside me.
Rob immediately called Emmett and was like, why the fuck are you texting my wife this shit at 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Emmett responded by showing up at Rob and Candy's house 5 minutes later.
What?
Because they live 2 miles apart.
Why would you show up?
Because he thinks he's hot shit.
Dude,
so
what?
The men are in the front yard arguing, and I wonder where Candy is and what she's doing this whole time. You peeping out the window?
Right.
So Rob came back in the house, threw Candy's phone at her, and said, quote, you win. I can't compete with that. He's younger, he's better looking, he makes more money.
Yeah.
Candy said, no, don't leave, which boggles my fucking mind. Why?
Right.
You two clearly hate each other.
Yeah, so why stay?
I don't know. So, around this time, Ashley gives birth to her fifth child, son Titus.
Son Titus?
Her son.
I was like, I thought you said Titus, but then son Titus. Like,
no,
what?
Jesus Christ. Emmett was withdrawn and distant during the delivery, and he was on the phone constantly, and he was just different.
Yeah.
Right after the baby was born, Candy showered Ashley with gifts and care packages and offers of babysitting.
What? What the fuck?
Ashley even used some of the blankets given to her by Candy for the newborn photos.
Yeah.
And now Ashley really pushed any thought of an affair with Candy out of her mind.
Yeah. Suck that vape. Oh, that's a... Dude, look at that. That's like a robot.
I know. It's got a rocket on it.
Oh my God, that's... Yeah. Dude, that's fucking they have ones, high tech.
No, they have ones you can Bluetooth connect to your phone. And you can play games and get text messages and...
Dude, I might start vaping.
Just give me a fucking old school lychee passion.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. That's pretty fucking cool.
So, Emmett's behavior during the delivery really pushed Ashley a little bit. Like, she wanted to know what was going on. So, she wanted to go to marriage counseling. Emmett never showed up to the appointment.
Yeah.
So, Ashley stayed alone. She said, quote, I ended up going by myself to this appointment, and I kind of sat in there asking him to fix me, like, I think I have issues, and just started going off to this counselor, and by the end, he was like, Ashley, I feel like something's really wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think?
So Rob's now feeling the same way about Candy, but he obviously knows that the affair is with Emmett, for sure.
Yeah.
In January of 2011, Rob emailed Candy. Part of the email said, good luck with Emmett. Karma's a bitch, and I'll have the last laugh.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. That ain't good. That it's loud as fuck, too. I know.
That's because it's almost done.
Yeah.
But don't ask me to not.
Please don't do it in the microphone.
Now I'm going to do it in your fucking microphone. God,
it was loud as fuck. It sounded like a robot.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. My God, you hate me today.
In February of 2011, Jesus Christ, Ashley really knew something was up. Emmett was spending less and less time at home. And she felt that she was being pushed away when she tried to talk to Emmett.
Yeah.
There was one time when her son asked if he even lived with us anymore.
What?
And then he asked Emmett, Daddy, do you still live here?
Oh, my God. That's
and
terrible.
Emmett got pissed.
Yeah.
Well, right around like this time, like closer to like March maybe, mm-hmm. T woke up in the middle of the night screaming,
yeah,
my daddy's gonna die, my daddy's gonna die. Ashley said she couldn't calm him down for like hours. She tried calling Rob, he didn't answer.
Holy
like,
fuck, yeah. Dude.
Like the kid had a fucking premonition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking scary.
So this will just show you the maturity level of this 30-year-old attorney.
Yeah.
And father of five. On February 25th, 2011, Emmett posted on Facebook at 4:30 in the morning, quote, nothing better than having someone try and call you out, and when it comes to go time, they end up pissing their pants and not wanting any part of what they started.
Oh, relax, Hercules.
Some of the responses were, yeah, bro, mine happened last week. Yeah, apparently, bro. They talk smack in Cali. Here in Idaho, talk is cheap. Throw down, settle it once and for all.
Okay, Hercules.
You're a Mormon from Idaho.
Yeah. Take it easy, killer.
Yeah. And then another response. Amen, brother, with an A.
Yes. They all talk like me.
I do have Kelly buddies who act tough as nails. Yeah, you, DC. But they treat women and they treat women with respect. Abuse a woman like my guy does, and I will come to your house. Once he has someone his own size, he doesn't feel like being violent anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On March 7th, 2011, again on Facebook, he says, quote, so sad seeing people get manipulated by people who abuse, lie, and cheat.
Okay.
In my notes, I wrote, my dude. You? Did you write about you?
Right.
Because that's
Are you talking about yourself?
That's you.
Right.
You.
You might want to like say, hey, that's about me.
A couple days later, again, on Facebook, quote,
oh, this dude loves Facebook.
I would kick their ass, but they are too scared to throw down. LOL, next time I'll film it for you.
Oh, Jesus.
Why do you keep saying throw down?
Who says that?
Was that a thing in 2011?
I never said that. Let's throw down.
So,
yeah, I never said that.
Next in my notes. So this is on his Facebook, right?
Yeah.
I said, how the fuck do you explain those to your wife?
Right.
Do you think Ashley's reading this going, the fuck is he talking about? Right. Who the fuck is throwing down?
Who's throwing down? And
whose
what,
ass is he
what,
kicking?
What is throwing down?
What, like, she right? had to have been like,
what the fuck?
Sir?
What are you talking
whose
about?
Whose ass are you kicking? And when have you been to California?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big sip.
Now it's water.
Iowa.
I have the best stickers.
You do.
I do. My boobies calculator.
Yeah.
So on the morning of March 11th, 2011, Ashley woke up and decided that she needed to take matters into her own hands. She was, quote, determined to fix it that day. She was going to cook Emmett's favorite foods, make the house spotless, and put the kids on their best behavior. She was hoping that they could have a family dinner for the first time in a long time, and she would have one-on-one time to talk.
Yeah.
It didn't even go close to what Ashley was hoping for.
Yikes.
Emmett got home super late. Food was cold. Kids were in bed.
Yeah, so much for that.
Ashley went to kiss him, and he physically pulled away from her.
Ooh.
He told her that he had already eaten, and he wasn't going to touch her food.
Damn.
Ashley... Baby girl, throw the food at him.
Yeah.
Throw the fucking plate at him. Right. It's time to make this shit a frisbee.
Right.
Come on.
Frisbee time. Come on. Yeah.
So they got into a huge fight when she told him that she asked her family to pray for them.
Hmm.
And he's like, why the fuck would you tell them our problems?
Yeah.
And then he said, quote, he said, your family? I hate your family. I could beat your brother up. I could kill all of you.
Throw down.
He's going to throw down.
He's going to throw down.
I'm surprised he didn't say that.
Right?
I picture him, like, having, like, winter gloves on and being like... Right. Like,
it's time to throw down.
So, she said, quote, I grabbed his face and I was like, you know what? I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I don't care what it is. Just tell me what's happening. And then she said, I don't know. I felt like this was the last chance and he didn't take it. He didn't open up about anything.
Yeah.
Watching her talk about this was
heartbreaking.
Yeah. So a family member of Ashley's then called Emmett to talk to him about almost counsel.
Now dickhead is on the windowsill.
About the marital issues. And Emmett was furious.
Yeah.
He ended up going into a bedroom and shutting the door. But he didn't realize that the baby monitor was in that room and it was on.
Ooh, I hate when that happens.
Ashley heard everything.
I hate when that happens.
He told the family member that he suspected Ashley was having an affair and that Ashley had told him he was a terrible father. When does that poor woman have time to wipe her own ass?
Right.
Let alone make a D appointment.
Right.
She got five kids.
Yeah.
Because you can't pull out of a fucking driveway.
Right.
So when he came out, she pretended she didn't hear anything and asked him how it went. And Emmett said, quote, oh, good. He thinks you're just as crazy as I do.
Oh, all right.
Hi, gaslighting.
Yeah.
How are you?
All right.
So then she asked if she could say something. And he says that she can do whatever she wants, but not on his phone. Nobody asked for your fucking phone,
right.
Emmett. Simmer down.
Settle down, man.
Emmett then says, I have to go to Walgreens and pick up a script.
Okay.
So Ashley begged him not to go, but he left anyways. 2 miles across town, Candy, also home late from work, around 6 o'clock, came home to Rob packing his shit. He said that Candy had been non-responsive for weeks, and he was leaving, he was done fighting, and he was done with the drama.
Wow.
Candy then admits to an affair, but says it's not with Emmett, but with an attorney in Oregon.
Hmm.
What?
Okay.
Is Oregon close to Idaho?
Not that close, I didn't think.
Okay. Candy then tells Rob, maybe you shouldn't move out, and maybe we should work on things. And I wrote, I don't understand why.
Right. I'm confused.
I'm very confused.
Yeah.
Because she's texting Rob this whole time, or Emmett this whole time.
Right, right.
Are you telling your boyfriend that you're telling your husband to not leave? Probably not.
Right.
Mm. So Rob ends up leaving the house around 8:45, He doesn't tell Candy where he's going, and Candy also goes to Walgreens to pick up a script.
No.
Rob meets a friend by the name of Danny Myers for a beer, and he just unloads on him. He tells him about the conversation with Candy and her affair with her boss. He also said that he was thinking of writing a letter to Ashley detailing the affair. And his friend tells him, like, don't do anything fucking stupid, you know?
Yeah, right.
Rob eventually goes home. But during this argument, Emmett is constantly texting Candy and not getting the responses that he wants. When he didn't get a response, he got worried and texted her sister, Tina.
Tina.
Now, just a side note. Candy will try to deny this affair later.
Okay.
Why the fuck is he talking to your sister?
Right.
Are you all besties?
That's awkward.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's...
weird.
That's just a bit awkward.
So the first text says, LOL, hey, Candy just told me that she told Rob she'd had an affair, but with someone else. She won't answer, and I'm worried. Can you call her and check on her, please?
Yeah.
The second text was, quote, any word? I can't get a hold of her. I'm about ready to drive over and beat his ass. The third text, quote, she just texted me and said he came back. I am sitting in my truck very close to her house. I won't let his sorry ass lay a finger on her again. So the last text said, quote, how did this schmuck even get her? He is such a bitch. Those are some pretty, like, personal messages to be sending to her sister.
Yeah, it is.
For somebody you aren't having an affair with.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah.
It's... and aren't you supposed to, like, not tell anybody?
Yeah, I would think so.
That's just weird to me.
It's way weird to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way weird. You all right over there?
Yeah. So according to Candy, after Rob left, she decided she needed to go to Walgreens to pick up a script. She says that as she's backing out of the driveway, Emmett texts her to see what she's doing. She says, I'm going to Walgreens. He says, cool, I just left there and I'll meet you there. So at 9:10, Candy meets Emmett in the Walgreens parking lot after she legitimately goes through the pharmacy drive-thru. She gets out of the car, gets him into his truck, and this is all seen on surveillance footage.
Okay.
They go to a Fred Meyer gas station where Emmett fills his tank and then cleans out his trunk, and he pulls out a bunch of medicine bottles.
Yeah.
Candy asks what he's taking, and he says, quote, let's just say that if you don't want to grow a penis, you shouldn't take these.
What?
So you're taking steroids. Cool.
Yeah. You
couldn't have just answered that with that.
Right.
But Candy was probably like, oh, ha, 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 ha. God. Yeah. I hate this woman.
Right.
So they drive to a newer subdivision under construction and get in the trunk and have sex for the second time that day.
Wow.
Candy's daughter was on her way home from a date and sees Candy's car in the Walgreens parking lot.
Candy with an eye.
Candy with an eye. She tries calling her mom, who doesn't pick up after repeated calls. So she calls her dad and says, hey, mom's car is in the parking lot and I can't get a hold of her.
Yeah.
So she rat her mom up.
Oh.
She called Candy again, and this time Candy answered and said she was driving around with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Her daughter calls bullshit and says,
Bolshevik.
That's cool. I called dad. And Bolshevik. Candy says, well, I'm on my way home.
Yeah.
Rob immediately heads to Walgreens. He pulls into the parking lot and he pull-in parks. Mm-hmm. That's important. He goes inside and he walks the aisles looking for Candy. Again, all seen on surveillance.
Yeah.
When Rob doesn't find Candy, he calls her and asks if she's with Emmett.
Ooh.
She just says yes.
Yeah.
Emmett grabs the phone from Candy and says, quote, yeah, what's up, chief?
This dude is a dork. Oh, my God. There's no other word. Just a fucking dork.
Is that how people talked? Like, did we talk
no.
about that in 2011?
No, okay. We didn't, because sense. We weren't fucking goofs.
And then he says, quote, yeah, wait right there. We'll be right there. You wait right there. Candy says she tried to de-escalate the situation by saying, you're not going to get into it with Rob. And he says, quote, yes, I am. And then threatens to, quote, crack his fucking head.
Whoa. Hey, yo.
So Rob is then seen on surveillance footage leaving the Walgreens and getting into his truck. He moves his truck to the other side of Candy's car where there's no cameras.
Yeah.
And he beckon parks. So now he can see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Flip the page.
So now only the back of his truck is visible on the camera.
Okay.
Just after 10 o'clock, Emmett comes flying into the parking lot. They don't see Rob at this point until they park and he's walking towards them. Now, this is per Candy, this next sequence of events. Because she says what she says and Rob just agrees with her. So, and obviously Emmett can't say anything. So,
yeah.
Per Candy, Emmett also got out and started verbally attacking and threatening Rob. Emmett then makes a comment about his dick size and talks about Rob only making $40,000 a year.
Shrimp sale.
And then says, quote, Candy, how much money did we make last week? $37,000? That's how much we make together, and you can't make that in a year.
Ooh.
Then starts saying, Candy doesn't want to be with you. She doesn't love you, blah, blah, blah. Did she tell you that she asked him 2 hours ago to stay?
Right.
I think you missed that part.
Man, this dude is a goof.
Yeah. So then Rob says something like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like,
yeah.
Didn't your wife just have a baby?
Right.
Go home to your wife and 5 kids.
Yeah.
This is when Emmett apparently gets pissed, and he had been leaning against the truck. He pushed off of the truck and shoved Rob. Candy says that she then gets in the middle of them and says, quote, that's enough. Emmett, you get in your truck. Rob, let's go. She turns to walk to her car and is stopped by a car pulling into the lot.
Yeah.
She then says she hears, quote, multiple pops, but didn't know what the sound was. She would later say two gunshots and then pause a third shot. She sees Rob in her peripheral vision and he's covered in blood. He then falls to the ground, but tries to get back up.
Yeah.
She turns around and sees both men on the ground, both covered in blood.
Damn.
A witness calls 911. And then Candy calls 911, screaming, quote, oh my God, oh my God, Robert, 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 followed by more screaming. Both men are bleeding from the head.
Oh, damn.
Per witnesses, she goes to Rob, says something to Rob. He collapses. She runs from Rob and goes to Emmett.
Oh, this bitch.
And sits next to Emmett and kisses his face and is cradling his head while he dies.
Oh, this bitch.
So Emmett was dead on arrival. The first shot entered his chest and hit his spinal cord, and the second shot entered the right side of his forehead and went out the left side.
Yeah.
Rob had a graze wound to his head. Both were shot with a .380 caliber pistol, and Rob was rushed to the hospital with, obviously, a police escort so they could question him. Rob immediately starts saying he doesn't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do the same thing when people tell me they passed out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you remember? And then when you can tell me from point A to point Z and everything in between, you didn't pass out.
You didn't pass out. That's,
so he
I
says,
call bullshit.
Yeah. So he says he doesn't remember, but then goes on to say that he remembers his daughter's call and going to Walgreens, and then remembers Emmett getting aggressive, and then remembers the gun falling out of his sweatshirt pocket. Emmett then grabs it and shoots Rob, but he doesn't know how Emmett got shot because that's when he can't remember anything.
Oh,
right.
So that's what happened.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I gotcha.
So doctors will tell police that Rob does have retrograde amnesia from the trauma of the graze wound to the head and hitting his head on the concrete.
Okay.
So
I'll believe that, sure.
Candy is also questioned immediately.
Candy with an I.
She's absolutely hysterical in the interrogation room. And she says she just blatantly fucking lies to the police. She says that she went to Walgreens and bumped into Emmett first. And then she says that they met up to talk about life and marital problems, but they were never romantically involved.
Mm.
So one was they bumped into each other. Another one was they met.
Not bumped uglies, right?
Right. Well, yeah. So police say, like, please help us put this together. You know, we will match the statements with the evidence. And then they say, quote, you know how police work goes. Candy says, quote, I know. I do it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So she was asked multiple times if she had anything other than a professional relationship with Emmett, and multiple times she said no. She goes on to say, quote, Emmett's a very aggressive man. He bodybuilds, so he's really pumped up all the time, and he got this close up into Rob's face, and I remember I'm all, hey, knock it off. This is ridiculous. I hear pop, pop, and then pop, and that's all I heard.
I turn around,
and both of them are laying on the ground. I then ran over, and I was like, I was pretty stunned at that point. I was like, what in the world? Because I didn't even know what the pop-pop was.
What in the world?
For such a smart woman, you sound pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah.
She said it sounded like balloons popping.
No.
So Emmett was on the ground covered in blood. This is what she's still telling the police. Mm-hmm. It was gushing down his face.
Yeah.
So she covered the wound on his head and then called 911. Then said she never saw the shooting.
Oh.
But later on, okay, she did, and then changes her mind again.
Well, I mean, right, you know.
Right. So then she said that Rob stood up and started walking forward and grabbing for something. She then realized that he was reaching for a gun and said she didn't know what he would do next. Quote, so I grabbed it, and I grabbed onto his shirt because he looked like he was going to fall. She then said she grabbed the gun, repeated no, and tried to get him to sit down. She then threw the gun into the street, and Rob collapsed.
Yeah.
Candy told multiple versions of this story, and surveillance video doesn't show the event, mm-hmm, but it has audio.
Oh, so, okay. That's kind of weird.
So at 1 o'clock in the morning, they were out of the view of cameras.
Yeah, but it's...
I don't know how good the audio was.
Yeah. Just weird for audio to...
Yeah. So at 1 o'clock in the morning on March 12th, 2011, Ashley's still awake waiting for Emmett because she wants to finish this conversation.
Right.
Instead, Meridian police knock on the door of the Corrigan home, and they inform Ashley that her husband has been murdered and that Candy and her husband were involved. Oh. So Ashley learned of Emmett's infidelity and murder at the same time.
Oh, damn.
She was devastated that he was fighting for Candy when he died and not for her.
Yeah.
She said, quote, it was like the ultimate humiliation.
It is.
It was not only is your husband gone, but you know that marriage you were trying to save? Here's all the answers of why it was going wrong. But now you don't have a marriage to save anymore.
Oh, man, that's heartbreaking. Yeah, goosebumps. Yeah.
So police, when they went through Rob's truck, they found printed emails spelling out the affair with Candy and Emmett. Police immediately theorized that Rob shot Emmett and then turned the gun on himself and either couldn't do it or missed. He was arrested and charged with murder. In October of 2012, Rob's trial starts. Rob's defense was that he shot Emmett in self-defense.
Yeah.
Rob's story is now the gun fell out of his sweatshirt pocket. Emmett grabbed it and shot Rob. Rob got control of the gun and shot Emmett twice. I thought you didn't remember anything.
Because he's I thought he had amnesia.
He's still sticking with he doesn't remember anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is pretty detailed.
Rob's attorneys argued that Emmett had steroids and amphetamines in his truck, so obviously they were in his system, and that he flew into a rage and initiated the fight. Doctors did testify that Rob had amnesia from the shot and hitting his head on the concrete, and he remembered nothing.
But he just, you know, he... just gave a detailed, yeah. Okay.
So he says, quote, I didn't bring a gun down there to gun down Emmett Corrigan. The prosecution didn't buy the self-defense angle and said that Rob shot Emmett twice, then shot himself.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutor James Spillman said, quote, I think that Robert Hall went to Walgreens in order to confront Emmett Corrigan. That he took a loaded gun and Rob decided that was his opportunity to get his Candy back by killing Emmett.
Mm-hmm.
Candy now takes the stand for Rob.
Oh, jeez.
Jesus, Mary, and fucking Joseph.
Oh, God, here we go.
Her testimony supports Rob's self-defense theory. She says that she attempted to intervene, but that Emmett's aggression was caused by finding out Rob had beaten Candy multiple times. This was the theory that Candy and Rob's defense attorneys went with.
Okay.
Candy testified that she might have told Emmett that Rob beat her.
Oh.
But she couldn't remember.
Oh, she's got amnesia too.
And then testified that Rob had never once hit her.
Oh. Ever. Okay.
So she said that by January of 2011, Emmett was becoming more possessive and controlling and aggressive and had a short temper in and out of the office. And that when he got mad, he would shuffle his feet like a bull.
Okay.
Or that's, a toddler.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he stomp too?
Right.
Yeah. It was also confirmed during her testimony that this was the second sexual encounter that she had had with Emmett that day. And also that her and Emmett went to an attorney's office the day of the murder to inquire about steps needed by both of them to initiate divorces from their respective spouses.
Ooh, that's huge.
Yet she insisted on the stand that she had no intention of divorcing Rob.
Yeah.
Candy's versions of events were all over the place. She was on the stand professing her love to Rob.
Oh.
Mouthing, I love you. I never stopped you. Loving you.
I love you, boo. Whatever.
She maintained that Emmett was the instigator, but her testimony was so bad. Judge Michael McLaughlin said, quote, "Frankly, in my years as a judge, I don't know that I've ever seen a witness to a case who has made so many conflicting statements and or the level of impeachment. Frankly, any testimony from Miss Hall in my 31 years on the bench, I don't think I've seen a witness more thoroughly discredited in the course of a proceeding."
Yikes.
That's him saying,
yikes,
you're full of shit.
Yep, you are one lying biatch.
So,
throw down.
Yeah. Candy and the defense attorneys thought they were convincing about the whole beating thing. The prosecution again called bullshit and said that Rob went to the Walgreens with the intent to kill Emmett. He spent hours that day packing his shit, which his daughter Hannah testified to, then took a loaded gun and copies of printed emails outlining the affair. Now, Rob had a concealed carry, and mm-hmm. he normally did carry a gun.
Mm-hmm.
However, the gun he brought with him was not that gun that he carried on a regular basis. This was a fancy gift gun from Candy.
Yeah.
So, why didn't you bring your regular gun?
Right.
Why'd you have to bring the fucking Candy special?
The Candy special.
And he also said it was in the sweatshirt, the pocket of his sweatshirt.
Yeah.
So they got a gun expert to testify that it is not standard practice to remove a gun from a holster if you're not intending to fire it.
Exactly. That's the number one rule.
They found the holster in the center console.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Why didn't you just put the fucking holster on, dude?
Right.
Like what?
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
That I don't understand. You carry a gun every day. Why wouldn't you put it in the holster and put the holster on your fucking belt?
Exactly.
I don't know. So then they said that Rob waited 17 minutes for Candy and Emmett to get back. And then another 8 minutes after their arrival before the shooting happened. The prosecution alleges that this is because Walgreens was closing and Rob wanted the lot to clear out so there would be no witnesses. However, there were several witnesses. There were also several witnesses that said Rob was very aware of the affair because he tried to say on the stand that he learned of the affair the day of the murder.
Yeah.
Many coworkers got on the stand and said that Rob would call the office to call Candy a whore.
Damn.
And that she was sleeping with her boss and she could have him and blah, blah, blah. Candy,
blah, blah, blah.
They would get on the stand also and say that they knew about the affair because they weren't hiding it.
Oh, yeah.
And also that Candy repeatedly told people in the office that Rob hit her.
What the fuck?
Which explains Emmett's
throw
down Facebook post.
Gonna throw down, boy.
So, Candy and Emmett had sparse gunshot residue on them, which is to be expected from being in the vicinity.
Yeah, of course.
Or touching the shot person.
Yeah, that's... That's normal.
Rob's hands, however, were covered in gunshot residue. So this debunks the defense's theory that Emmett grabbed the gun and shot Rob. There's no way he could have.
Right.
So a jury of 7 women and 5 men found Rob guilty of second-degree murder. They didn't feel that there was enough evidence to prove premeditation.
Right.
Ashley spoke after the verdict, and I can't read it because I will cry. She talks about how she thought it would be this beautiful all-being moment where she has, you know, closure and clarity. And she said all she saw was two mothers who both lost their sons.
Oh, my God. That just gave me chills.
Yeah. So, Rob was sentenced to 30 years and must serve 17 and a half before he's eligible for parole in 2028.
Wow, it's coming up.
He's at the Idaho State Correctional Institution, and he only spoke to give a final apology, saying, quote, "I'm so sorry for everything. I truly mean it when I can't describe what happened."
Hmm.
So he still says there's no ill will towards Candy, and the only person solely responsible is Emmett. Candy said, quote, "Wow. I have a lot of guilt still in me,
a lot, you think?
And it has to do with my kids and his kids, and it makes me sick how I could do something like that. I'm the responsible one. It's something that I don't know. Are they ever going to be able to get through that? I mean, hopefully, I can prove to them one day that it was just a mistake."
Yikes.
Okay. Oh, it gets better.
Oh, boy.
2 months after Emmett's murder, Candy was arrested for embezzling $30,000 from her former employer.
No way. Yes.
She pled guilty to grand theft, and she got some sort of, like, first-time criminal
I was going to say, yeah.
She was released on parole in 2014, and she'll be on probation until 2026.
Still, at least she got something. Fuck you, bitch.
Rob sat down with Keith Morrison after the verdict, and his story changed again because now he remembered everything.
Oh, of course.
He's already convicted. Now we can...
Now we can talk, yeah.
If I did it, is what this is.
Like the OJ, if I killed her.
He said he wasn't sure of the affair until that night, but Emmett was the aggressor. He pulled Rob down by the hood of his sweatshirt, and Rob heard something hit the ground. He thought it was his cell phone. He saw Emmett pick up the gun, and the last thing he remembers is a gun being pointed at his head.
Hmm. Okay.
So, okay.
Wow.
Last bit.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil.
Oh, Dr. Phil. I love you, sir. You all right? Take a deep breath.
In 2015,
yeah.
Dr. Phil's people called Ashley,
mm-hmm.
who eventually, by the way, remarries and has two more daughters.
Oh, wow.
She is also now a public speaker talking about family and forgiveness and all that stuff.
Good for her.
So, Dr. Phil calls and says, "Listen, we want to do this show on forgiveness."
Yeah.
"And like, that's what you do now, and we've seen how far you've come, and blah, blah, blah. Would you consider dropping the restraining order against Candy?"
Oh, Dr. Phil.
"If we bring you together."
Dr. Phil, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Even he realizes halfway through the show how bad he fucked up.
Oh, okay. This happened?
This happened.
Oh, my God. I got to watch it.
Ashley thinking, like, this is what I do for a living. Like, maybe I should. She drops a restraining order.
Yeah. You got to pick up your mic. It keeps dropping.
So, they get him on the stage together. And the first thing Candy says is, quote, "Your marriage did not end because of me. Stop nailing me for everything."
Oh, you bitch.
Ma'am?
Fuck you.
Your husband killed her husband.
Yeah.
As a direct result of you banging him.
Yeah.
Her marriage did end because of you.
Dr. Phil, shame
on you.
And
Candy would say, like, "What do you want from me? What do you want to know from me?" And you can tell, like, Ashley's trying not to lose her shit.
Yeah.
And at one point, Dr. Phil looked at Candy and said, "If we were speaking the same language and I didn't know any better, you would think that it was your husband who died."
Yeah. Yeah.
She blamed Ashley the whole time and took no...
shame on them.
Yeah. Yep.
Shame on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
How do you look at this woman and say your marriage did not end because of me?
Yeah.
It did.
It absolutely
it
did.
It did.
Yeah.
Well, man. Her and Rob remained married until 2018 when he filed for divorce. I don't know what the fuck she's doing. I don't care.
Right.
Honestly.
Fuck you, Candy, with an I.
Fucking hit by a bus. But Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Dr. Phil, that's a no-no, man.
But, like, you can see, like, Ashley trying to stay calm, and then you see, like, Dr. Phil, like, you know he realized halfway through, like,
this was not a good idea.
This was bad. This was a bad idea.
Maybe ratings aren't such a fucking good thing.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe it's not worth it all the time.
So, like, obviously there's a Dateline about it with Keith Morrison.
Yeah.
And when you watch it, like, Candy does not give a fuck.
Fuck her,
about anything.
Man.
Her kids, fuck his her. Kids, the situation, Rob. She don't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah, fuck her.
Yep. Yep. So that is the murder of Emmett Corrigan.
Wow, that was a good one. I'm really glad you did that one. Yeah, that had my interest the
I thought you'd
time.
Like that one.
Yeah, yeah, that had my interest the entire fucking time.
And I had to wrap it up with Dr. Phil. Because I knew you were going to be like, I love Dr. Phil.
I love Dr. Phil. I watch him every day, and now I'm fucking pissed at him. Shame on him for fucking
it's
doing that.
So hard to watch.
I'm totally going to fucking Google because it as soon as I get in the other room.
You feel so bad for Ashley.
Yeah.
But then you're almost embarrassed for Candy.
Right.
Like, what in the fuck is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with you? Like, legitimately, what is wrong with you?
Because something obviously is. I mean, you're a fucking psychopath.
And then Rob would go on to say multiple times that the only person that was solely responsible for this was Emmett.
Oh, man.
He didn't bring a gun to a knife fight, my dude.
No.
You did.
No. What a good episode, though.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I know I did. Jamie did some digging. Mom, I hope you enjoyed this one. I know you were excited for it. Please like, follow, and share. Guys, the next Patreon episode is Phil Hartman. Please sign up. It is going to be an excellent episode. www.patreon.com/deathdoespart1. I got hit with a couple messages that the last episode wasn't up on there. But it's showing on our end that it is up.
I'll re-upload it on Patreon.
Yeah.
Just in case. So if people that do have it the first time see it twice, that's the only reason why.
So
I'll re-upload it.
Yeah, the error might be on your end because our Patreon is showing that it's up there. And it's on Spotify, iTunes. It's on every platform. So
I'm going to re-upload it tonight. So tomorrow, if the people that didn't see it on Patreon before still don't see it on Patreon by tomorrow morning, please let us know.
Yeah.
Because then I will contact Patreon.
Yeah, shoot us a message. You know, you guys know how Patreon is. We always have issues, but unfortunately that's the only platform that we can use like that. So, but please sign up. Our next episode will be the Patreon episode. It will be excellent.
I'm thinking Friday.
Ooh, okay.
So.
Okay. I'm definitely cool with that. So, it should be coming soon. She's halfway done with it.
As long as I'm not on a, I gotta look, as long as I'm not on a 24 Friday.
Yeah.
It should come Friday.
But Jamie's been doing some deep diving, so I hope you guys enjoyed this, and we will be talking to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.